of you this morning. We begin our first Sunday of Advent in a little bit different way than we usually begin this service, and that is with the lighting of the Advent candle. Beginning with the fourth Sunday before Christmas Day, which is today, the season known as Advent officially begins. In essence, Advent is the beginning of the church year for Christians. So what actually is Advent? The word itself comes from the Latin Adventus, which means coming or to visit. And it is during this time of this season that we prepare for and anticipate the coming of Christ. We remember the longing of the Jewish people for a new beginning, for a Messiah, as well as our own longing for and need for forgiveness, salvation, and a new beginning. In our anticipation of the coming, it is twofold. The coming of Jesus, born in a humble setting in Bethlehem. The coming of Christ as a fulfillment of all that was promised by his first visit. You received Advent reflections as you came into worship today. And this provides a tool, a resource to navigate your way through the season of Advent. So here we have our Advent wreath. A wreath, because it is a circle, symbolizes God's never-ending love. The wreath, because it is green with evergreens, symbolizing God's never-ending love. The wreath contains four candles representing the four Sundays of Advent, and then the center Christ candle for Christmas. Each Sunday, a candle will be lit on the wreath with a reading by a couple of folks. And today, we have invited Katrina and Lloyd Herlong to join us in the lighting of the first Advent candle.
This is the first Sunday in Advent. Today, we light one purple candle. This is the candle of hope. Advent is a time of waiting and hoping. We wait for the day when we celebrate again the birth of Jesus. We hope that everyone will come to know God and to worship God.
When we look at the first candle, we remember God's promise. God promised to send a Savior to the people. As the prophet Isaiah wrote, God is the potter who molds us. We know that the gospel witness is one that helps us understand that God is loving and just. God brings peace. This gives us hope. We anticipate again the birth of the baby Jesus, remembering that Jesus helps us know God's love for us.
Oh, this day a Savior, gifted from heaven to a manger.
On me,
won't give up on me. Your love is holding on and it won't let go. I feel it breaking out just like you let go. Your love is holding on and it won't let go. And I feel it breaking out, breaking out, breaking out. Your love is holding on and it won't let go.
Jesus, you see what I cannot see. Your way.
this baby boy who's come to earth to bring us joy. And I just wanna sing this song to you. It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall and the major lift. With every breath I'm singing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Expecting child, they searched the inn to find a place for you were coming soon. There was no room for them to stay, so in a manger filled with hay, God's only son was born. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Shepherds led their flocks by night to see this baby wrapped in light. A host of angels led them all to you. It was just as the angels said, you'll find your baby.
Never get tired of that song. I love it. Time. It drives us. It frees us. It marks moments that give us meaning. It measures existence without meaning. It goes so slowly when you're 6 years old waiting to open presents on Christmas morning. And it goes so quickly when a deadline is looming for a paper or a project. We look forward to something in the future. We look back with fondness or regret. We live in it now. Are we in it now? Today, the first Sunday in Advent, in the Christian liturgical calendar, it is the first day of the new year. It is a way to mark time. Advent begins, as you heard, with the fourth Sunday before Christmas, and it is a time for us to prepare for the birth, rebirth of Jesus Christ. It is a time to slow down time so that we can be present to the experience of waiting for the already. J. Marshall Jenkins in A Wakeful Faith wrote, "We must listen for God day by day. We must keep an ear open to our neighbor, an ear to our hearts, and a third ear to God. Faith is a journey led by God. We pause, wait, and listen for the guide who speaks more often than not in a still small voice that requires careful, patient attention." Close quote. And I thought of that as Melinda sang the song about listening for every word. Advent invites us to mindfulness, where we pay attention to what is happening in this time, here and now. Christ is with us, and we await Christ anew, already and not yet. It's not easy to be here now. I was a daydreamer as a kid, and I got in trouble at school all the time for not paying attention. I was living somewhere else in my head, and I was not attentive to the moment, and the teachers could readily see that, apparently. And that is still an issue for me, and I have to work at staying present to the moment that I'm in. It takes intentionality on my part. As we enter this season of Advent, I invite us all to intentional mindfulness as we live in this time, in this moment. Our scripture text for today is the beginning of the Gospel of Mark. There is no birth story of Jesus in Mark. Mark is the earliest and the shortest of the four Gospels. The compiler was focused on preserving the stories and what was important to that community, which was that we act as faithful followers of Jesus Christ. The first verse reads, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus the Christ." Scholar Ched Myers notes that ancient writers frequently established their credentials at the outset by appealing to recognizable authorities. So think film credits. Mark's first verse uses two terms that would have been familiar to his audience. Gospel was a term associated with Roman propaganda. News of a military victory on the far-flung frontiers of the Pax Romana or other imperial news was trumpeted as glad tidings, gospel, good news, or whatever else was going on throughout the empire. Secondly, Caesar was eulogized as a divine man on coins and in emperor cults. In contrast, Mark offers decidedly non-imperial good news about Jesus of Nazareth, a Jewish Christ, anointed one, as opposed to Caesar. So you begin to sense what that meant to proclaim those things using terms that had meant something else. So by using such rhetoric, Mark was engaging the struggle for hearts and minds through the popular media of the Mediterranean world. Mark's opening also echoes Genesis 1:1, suggesting that he wished to reclaim and renew the great story of God's creativity, God's activity in the world. Creation, he seems to be arguing, continues wherever the story is told and lived again. Close quote. Now for the rest of the text, Mark chapter 1, verses 2 through 8, and Kim will be reading for us.
As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' John the baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, 'The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.'" Amen.
Thank you. So Mark introduces both Malachi and Isaiah, Old Testament prophets, into this story, introducing the image of wilderness. In so doing, a major theme of the gospel is laid out: the tension between two archetypically opposite spaces, temple and wilderness, center and margins. And there it is. This is the context for faithfulness, where the empire was crushing the life out of people on the margins, and the 1% in the center was getting richer. In calling for the crowd to prepare for the one greater than he, John the Baptist called for people to come into the wilderness, come to the margins, and then for the people to prepare and to repent. And what is it to repent? It's not your naughty list for Santa. It is to turn around and go a different direction than where you were headed. It is to change. It is to be mindful of destructive thoughts and behaviors that don't support the common good for creation, and then stop doing it. Changing direction prepares us to receive the Christ anew. Changing direction allows us to open up to new ways of being, and thus opened, we are like vessels able to both give and receive. We enact such reconciliation with ourselves, with one another, and with God through the sacrament of Holy Communion, a practice that the early church shared whenever they gathered. We receive the gift of grace so that we are prepared to then go out into the world, into the margins, and be the place where God turns up in the world. And that brings us back to mindfulness. We begin this season attentive to the brokenness of the world. In this world, the disparity between those who eat and those who hunger is great and growing. In this world, the AIDS epidemic continues to ravage people, families, whole communities. Sub-Saharan Africa, our sisters and brothers continue to suffer in huge numbers. Part of a continent is being decimated, in part because of denial about the disease. But that is not unique to them. I remember well being a pastor in the early 80s when the AIDS epidemic was first making the news, and I can recall the fear and ignorance that sent sick persons into the dark shadows of non-existence, where families and churches abandoned them. It was the new version of lepers, and many people were irrational in their response. gay people had to hide for fears of so-called good Christians would brand them as outcasts, as lepers. That's why the celebration at Hollywood UMC is significant today. That's why standing up for those who were wounded and sick and marginalized matters. It matters. It means everything. And that's where God is. Pay attention. I will never forget Ryan and Steve, a couple who came to be members at Westwood UMC in the mid-90s, about the time that the ribbons went up at Hollywood. They were both HIV positive. They were both injured by their experiences in church, and yet still they came and they sought out connection. We walked a long, joyful, painful journey together where they found both new life and then death. New drugs offered hope that maybe they didn't have to die. And that was true for a while, and then it wasn't true anymore. It was tortuous. Even so, God's grace touched all of our lives in ways that we could not imagine, and pain and love commingled toward death and peace. In this world, it seems, fear and revenge grip our imagination more than God's promise of a beautiful creation where diversity is a blessing, reflecting the very essence of our Creator. Instead, we are suspicious of people who believe differently or look differently, and of that, we repent. Be attentive. Be attentive to our world, God's world, diverse by design. Be mindful of the world's pain and your pain. Be attentive to the movements of the Spirit. By it, we are renewed. So how do we begin this Advent? Despite the gaps we in the church and world have created between us and God, we express our faith this Advent that God has not given up on us. We reach out for God in the time in which we live in this very moment and discover God has been embracing us with love all along. Always has been. Rachel Naomi Remen writes, "Goosebumps happen when your soul is close to you, breathes lightly on the back of your neck, and wakes you up." I'm going to say that again. I just love it. Goosebumps happen when your soul is so close to you, breathes lightly on the back of your neck and wakes you up. Practicing mindfulness, staying in the moment, enables you to feel the breath on your neck, enables you to sense the movement in your neighbor, in a stranger. We are connected by God's moving, enlivening Spirit. Oh, friends, there is life in the margins, in the wilderness. It was the place of the beginning for Jesus' ministry. Do not be afraid, but rather attentive and mindful and awake. God is waiting to turn up in you. Get ready. Thank you, God, for loving every one of us. Now use every one of us to embody your love like Jesus. Send us out to be your beams of light and love. Amen.
Please stand and pass the peace of Christ with your neighbor before we do this last song together.
has come. Let her receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing.